All right, the boys are back. I did my own episode last week. I haven't done a single episode, like an episode by myself, in so long, and it actually felt really good.
That's fun, man. What are
Yeah.
you telling us? What are you telling us, bro? You telling us you don't want us here?
No,
You
what I'm telling
know?
people,
Tell
what I'm telling
us how you
people
really
is that
feel.
what I'm telling people is that I have more time to record episodes, and I can do a second episode by myself if I really wanted to.
I like
There you
it.
go. So I want to bring back like the own episodes, do a lot of like personal reflection stuff like that, kind of uses like a log type
That's
thing,
good.
but work lessons into it. So I'm going to be coming back with an episode a week of my own and get that rolling.
Damn right.
Because I think you guys should probably listen to that episode. Call myself out on a lot of shit on that one. So I appreciate anyone who actually listened to that episode and took away some things that they can apply. Everything's going good. I'll give my update first. I'm growing like a weed. That's it. That's basically it. Food hasn't changed in like forever. I enjoyed one too many desserts for Thanksgiving, and that's okay. But I got to enjoy my time, and I got to enjoy my time with my family and things like that. And that's obviously the most important thing. But everything's going well. I'm in a great headspace, pumping out content. TikTok. I got back on the TikTok game. Tony's got me. I'm posting like 3 times a day on that shit. So go follow me on TikTok, Spada underscore TME, because we're TME. So go follow me on there. But yeah, everything's going great, man. I can't complain. Life's good. Things are great. Dill?
Things are really good. I just got home from Florida a few days ago. Braden and I went and seen some clients of his and friends of ours. We had a wonderful US Thanksgiving, which was fun for a couple Canadians. We got to go to Universal and Disney, and that was very fun, just getting to spend some time together. I did get sick, unfortunately, so that's kind of shitty, but still had a great time. I've been in a I think 3 weeks now, maybe, or something like 3 weeks
Yeah.
of as of Tuesday, we've been pulled back my food a bit. Just, we got pretty heavy and I was fine with it, but I am getting married and I talked to Braden and I was like, hey, I'd like to be like maybe a little bit better shape. I don't need to be like no contest prep shape or nothing, but I'd like to be a little bit better shape. And he was like, I can't argue with that, man. And we've been holding tissue for a very long time and, let's try it out a little bit. So I'm down about like 11 or 12 pounds, which I'm still a little bit sick, so I'm not certain. I'm very flat. And I've been eating basically hitting my meals pretty much perfect for the most part, except for maybe one day around Thanksgiving. But because I haven't been training I've been hitting rest day food, which is a little slightly less. So once I start training again I'm assuming I'll start filling out, and I don't think I'll be down like 12 pounds like I am. I think probably 3 to 4 will come back. But I am happy with how things are going. So other than that, just getting healthy and getting ready for the Olympia. What about you, B? What's new? Damn
What's
right.
going on?
Same old man. Had a really, really nice trip. We went down there. I went down Wednesday through Monday to Florida with Dylan and my clients there. We stayed with them, which was super cool. We had some fun. Dylan and I kind of worked Wednesday through Friday a little bit still. And then we really had the weekend to enjoy, which was nice. Just literally unplugged. I'll be completely honest. Like, I wasn't really on my phone at all on Friday and or sorry Saturday and Sunday, and it was nice. It's not something I usually do. Like, I might not be doing check-ins on those days, but I know Dill's the same too. We're usually working still for 8+ hours a day on those days, so it was nice to just, and I know the old lady really loved it too, got some of our time, and it was cool to get Sierra and Kim together and just have some fun. So I mean, I also went a little hard on Thanksgiving. I'm telling you Americans do Thanksgiving different, bro.
Yeah, we do.
It's wild down there. We had an incredible
Well, I
meal.
don't know. Juarez looked a bit intense compared
It
to
was next. It
mine.
was next level, bro. Like those picanha wagyu steaks,
Yeah, we don't
flame
do
grilled
that.
with a
He's
flamethrower.
special. That's special.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. So we ate a lot. I actually, my weight came up a good amount. I was 240 after Thanksgiving. So on Friday morning.
What did you go into it as?
I was hanging around 235, 236.
Oh, good. Yes, I don't feel as bad about mine because I was around
Okay, well,
two.
hold on. Listen to this. So that was Friday morning. I woke up that
Oh, boy.
Saturday we did Universal and I got 17,000 steps. I didn't weigh myself on Sunday morning because we were basically up and out of the house to be at Disney for 8 a.m.
And we ended up spending 16 hours at Disney, and we were like, for the people listening to this, my average daily steps is roughly like 3,000 will stay. So basically in a week, I hit 21,000 steps normally across the entirety of a week. Well, on Sunday last week, we did over 30,000 steps. When I woke up on Monday morning, I took my check-in shots for Cam and I took my weight. I was 231.8. So in a matter of 2 days, I basically had dropped 9 pounds.
Jesus.
But yeah, that my body was just like, yo, what are you doing? My body actually hated it. I'm going to be completely honest. Like the days following all those steps, like my legs were so tight. My feet were so sore because I was also walking in flat shoes, and I have a pretty good arch to my foot, which is a good thing. But when you're walking in flat shoes for that long, and like, I'm not a super light human, it was tough. By the end of it, like we were all just dying at midnight in Disney. It's like, oh, okay,
dude, my legs would be like so inflamed.
Oh, it was wild. Now the funniest thing ever did happen. So there's a Harry Potter ride that I've actually been on before in California, and it's a super cool ride. I know like some of the people we were with get motion sickness and stuff, so they didn't have the best time on it. I love it though. You like basically go inside Hogwarts and you're like playing Quidditch and all this shit, move flying around. So I go to get on this ride. Keep in mind, the last time I did this was in like, I think it was 2020 that I ordered, 2019 that I went on this ride. I go to get in it, and like Brandon sits down, Nikki sits down, Kim sits down. I sit down and like, I can't sit back. My shoulders don't fit in like the seat. And it's like a roller coaster type harness that comes over your head. So like my shoulders are rolled forward like this, and I can't fit them back in the seat because it's too narrow for me. So I'm like, oh, whatever. So the chick reaches up to put the harness down over my head and close it. And it doesn't fit. Like it doesn't go past my arms. So my arms are like this, and she's like hitting my arms. And she like puts her whole body weight on it to like slam it closed, and it like almost breaks my arms. I'm like, whoa, that's not working. So she does it again. Long story short, it was a little bit embarrassing. I had to get off the ride because I didn't fit in it. And buddy was like, let's put you in the test chair. So he wheeled me over to a test chair to see if I fit. And like, as soon as I sat down in it, he's like, you realize you're not going to fit. I'm like, yeah, I get it. So I had to get hauled off a ride because I wasn't fitting in it. So that didn't, the muscle betrayed me. But that's okay. It was quite funny.
Maybe if you were 231 the day you went, you maybe would have gotten, you maybe would have.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
But just dropped all your water. Just diuretic.
I'm not like a big ride person either. So like being a little bit sick, not going to lie, I had some mushrooms as well. So I was feeling quite interesting on those fucking spinning rides. You know, like, and we had just trained legs brutally on Friday, and then all those steps, I actually haven't felt like that since my mid-20s. I actually didn't even remember I could feel like that. I was like, holy shit, like, I might actually die. When we went to that Cinderella place for supper, I was just staring at the wall, and I'm like, oh, I might die now. Like, this is just not good. And then I got booted, and I felt a little bit better, and I powered through. I was a little bit grouchy by the end of some of those days, so I had to apologize to them after. I was like, geez, I probably wasn't very fun, but like, I was struggling.
Boys, I'm so ready for Vegas.
It was a riot. Yeah, man, and that's the other thing I was going to say. I'm like really, really excited for Vegas. It's going to be, yesterday, one of my buddies, I was with him last night, and he asked, he's like, oh, like, you're done your traveling for the year? And I was like, no, I'll go to Vegas in 3 weeks. I go, oh, who are you going there with? And like just talking about it, like, oh, we got our whole coaching team going. We got 3 or 4 athletes coming. Like they're coming. It's like, holy shit. We got a large crew of people coming down. It's going to be a riot. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to being on a plane though for 6 hours. That's what I'm definitely not looking forward to.
Do you not like flying?
I mean, but I just don't want to. I got check-ins the next day, so I'm like I'm keeping it like a prep, like I'm going to somewhere for peak week, so like I'm not going to eat on the plane. it's going to be like protein and veggie on the plane.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You're not going to change that much, bro.
I know. I'm kidding. No. I don't particularly like flying. I get anxiety. I don't have an issue with flying. I have an issue with airports and getting there, and the anxiety of getting on the flight. Once I'm on the flight, I'm good. But the anxiety of getting to the airport and getting to my flight in time, which is why I always leave like 3 hours before my flight. I always get there like so early. So I'll be there at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
I'm with you because I know that if there's a lot of, from where I fly, there's a lot of sort of stops where you have to get off a plane, get on another one sometimes. And that happened to me coming to Florida. I just pray every time that I fly on those type of trips. I'm like, hey, Dylan, just get through the day. Don't end up incarcerated and you will be having a good life. And I almost did that again this last trip on the way home. My fiance was not very happy with me, but it is what it is. And I got home safe and sound. So
also the freshest pair of J's there.
Maybe. Well,
no, I will. I got the loss and founds, bro. You ain't keeping up.
You don't know how much money I'm going to spend on a pair in Vegas, bro.
We do got to go to Urban Necessities. I actually may drop some dollar bills on some new shoes too while I'm out there.
Bad news, but
our topic for today. I guess we'll kind of give a little. We should probably make this into two parts. Why do I think we should make? We only have so much time, so I think we should probably make this into two parts and record two episodes next week, and we'll just we'll fuck off. We'll fuck around and find out. I think a big thing that keeps coming up in a lot of my athletes' check-ins, and you probably guys get this, especially around like this time period where things start to slow down, start to get colder. Everyone's kind of feeling like, meh, like sickness kind of comes in. You know, what we were just chatting about on our team chat, which we'll dive into next week for you guys. And we'll give you guys some tips heading into the last few holidays of the year on that stuff. But I find a lot of people aren't purely like motivated. And I put that in quotes because I hate the word motivation. I don't think it's the best thing to try to rely on. So that's what we're going to make our topic about today is actually how to stop relying on motivation and rely more on what we've all developed throughout the years, right? And that is discipline, right? And how do we actually build that? And I asked myself the other day, I was actually diving into this because I'm reading The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. Great book so far. And it goes into talking about goal setting and stuff like that. But I mean, I'll let one of you guys kick it off. You guys are charged up about this. I know Dill's really into this stuff with psychology and stuff. But how do we go about, like, how did we come to be? Like, us three, like, if you think about it, how did we come to stop relying on motivation, at least come from your aspect, and start to rely more on discipline?
I can add something. Speaking to myself.
Yep.
And I actually think, I don't think. I know Dylan well enough that I would be willing to actually put my entire life savings on a bet here to say that he probably feels the same way many times. And I'm also going to say something that, and it kind of literally is just reiterating what we're talking about, but I've said it to probably well over 100 clients at this point that I've worked with over the years. And if you break it down to kind of its simplest form, and you have one athlete who is 100% motivated and 0% disciplined, and you have another athlete who's 0% motivated but 100% disciplined, and you have a race and it's a start and a finish, and maybe it's a marathon race, you're saying, I'm willing to guarantee you the only athlete to cross that finish line is the athlete who is 0% motivated but 100% disciplined. Because the discipline means, even though despite they're not having a day-to-day motivation, they're doing what they need to do to get closer to their goal. Right. So they might not wake up in the morning and say, yes, woohoo, I get to go do this and I'm looking forward to this. They might get up in the morning, their feet hit the ground, and they have no thought process. They just do what needs to be fucking done. Whereas on the flip side, the other athlete gets up and is incredibly motivated. Today, I'm going to have the best day ever. And then they walk downstairs and mom's made pancakes for breakfast and they're supposed to have oatmeal and egg whites or whatever. And they grab three pancakes and toss it on their plate. And they've already failed on that given day. And I don't like to use the word fail, but essentially they failed. They failed themselves because the discipline wasn't there. And now throughout the rest of that day and the entirety of that marathon, when the discipline's not there, even though the motivation is there, they're not making the decisions that lead them to the promised land. So 10 out of 10 times, I'll take discipline over motivation. For myself, and how did I get to where I am through my journeys and the stuff that I dealt with? I mean, dude, I can say this. When I got out of the hospital, let's say after my heart incident, and I was 196 pounds, and the last time I had seen myself in a mirror, I was 250 pounds. I didn't really look at myself and say, I'm so damn motivated to get that muscle back on. I looked at myself and it was like, this is fucking pathetic. What is this? What am I looking at? And it wasn't a matter of like, hey, I'm motivated to go do this again. It's more so with me, a lot of the stuff I do, like a scarcity mindset and I can't fail. And that's kind of the way that I approach many things is like, even though at a given time, I might not want to do something, well, I have a 9mm on the back of my skull that tells me if I don't do that thing, that trigger's getting pulled and my brains are being splattered all over the wall. So I'm just going to fucking do it. Right. And like, that's kind of the mindset that I take with things is like, I realize that every day is not going to be sunshine and rainbows, but I realize that I have goals. And the only way to achieve those goals is to sometimes buck up and get shit done. And I'll be completely transparent and say that I have a very large fear of failure. And it's not a fear of failing in other people's eyes. I believe in myself and know what I'm capable of. And I'm scared to fail myself and to understand what that feels like, because I've felt that before. And I don't want to ever feel those things again. So my motivating factor and my driving factor is literally like, you can't fail. And if you don't do this thing or don't do those things, you will fail, because those are the things that prevent you from failing. So get your ass in motion, get done what you need to do. And I think it comes down a lot of times to prioritization too. And this is something like Dylan and I have had some good conversations on lately, because we're juggling a bunch of different things and we have to prioritize what's most important and what moves the ship in the direction it needs to go the fastest, because either way that ship's going to be moving, but what's the most methodical, smartest way to move that ship. Right. So for me, that's kind of the way I do it. And maybe it's not some drawn out long explanation and fancy motivational words, but again, that's not what this is about. If you have a fucking goal, you need to realize that like, just being motivated to achieve that goal is never enough. You have to be disciplined to give up some shit and make some changes that just get you there. Cause getting there is half the battle, right? And staying on track to get there is half the battle. So
I think that's a necessary component. Like if we think about it, I think the necessary component is that fear, right? I think a lot of people, and this is something that I was listening to, I was actually listening to Andrew Huberman talk about this on his podcast, and he discusses how like every single successful person has that little bit of fear inside them, that fear of failing, because that's what drives, it keeps them driven because they don't want to. And we kind of get glimpses of it. I was actually discussing this in one of my notes, because I was reading another book, which I was talking to you guys about. I slightly mentioned like all the revelations I've had, yada, yada, yada. And one of the things was, I was actually at my family's Thanksgiving dinner. And the one thing that I got, because you guys know, like my next moves, right? Like I've talked about next steps for me and what's coming up and where I'm going, and I haven't purely announced it, everything, but if people know, you're my close friends, you know what's going on. My whole family kind of found out. My parents kind of told them and everything. I didn't really want it known. And they were like, oh, why are you going to do that? And they're like, you don't make it so subtle. They're like, why are you going to do that? And then like, they don't make it so subtle that you want to become a coach. And I'm like, good, I want it to be that way. It's like, there's a goal I want to get to. Right. And I want to make that. But I kind of got a glimpse.
People are never going to understand our shit. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be your duty to have to explain somebody or make them understand. If they understand, they understand. If they don't, guess what? We're doing it anyways.
But I think I turned it around. And I found out a glimpse of what happens if I do fail. Right. Like, what happens if you do fail? Like, you kind of go and live like this ordinary life, not making any impact, like living paycheck to paycheck. And it's just like, you settle, right? And that's what I was kind of looking at. Like, no disrespect to my cousins or like my cousins-in-law and stuff like that. But I kind of use that as like a sign, like, hey, this is what happens if I don't make these moves. Like, they kind of made me question for a minute and fear what is coming up with these moves. And I'm like, No, I need to accept that fear and channel it and go with it. Because I think a lot of us go with the grain with it. We don't try to fight the fear, right? We kind of accept it and use that as like a not a motivating factor, but a driving factor towards where we want to get to. Like, it's not motivation for us. It's more so this is how we need to live because it's what we truly feel is us. And I think you also brought up a good point where is the goal truly like big enough, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people aren't scared enough for what they have to accomplish. Like if we set something, or like our team, right? Like when you're with a team of fucking killers, there's an expectation there. Mm-hmm. And you need to fucking live up to your own expectations with that, right? And handle your own business. And that should be, and that's a big goal, right? That's a big expectation. But those types of things like channel you to level up. I think that's why we always say you got to be around more successful people, because those people will dump you off in a second.
Well, man, like we all say this. Sorry, Dale, I know you were going to say something. I don't want to cut you off. I've heard every one of us say this. Success leaves clues, right? So you look at the most successful people in the world, and we'll just talk the business world because there's people I admire there. Like you look at guys like Elon Musk and some of these richest CEOs in the world, and sure, money isn't everything, but money definitely can buy happiness. And if you don't think that, you're insane. And it buys freedom, I guess. Me and Dale talked about this too, which in a sense, freedom can buy happiness. But you look at these guys, almost every single one of them at some point in time had an idea that somebody thought was fucking crazy. And somebody told them wasn't going to work. Elon Musk has had how many failed businesses? He was literally removed as CEO from his own company that he built. And he bounced back and did it again. And did it again. And did it again. Why did he do that? Not because he was a poor me person, because he believed in himself and he bet on himself, right? And I think that's what a lot of people miss is they want us to bet on them. They want their coaches to bet on them. They want their friends to bet on them. But through that entire process, they're not betting on themselves. So when the motivation falls back, the discipline falls with it, right? And it's like when you bet on yourself and you know you're capable of something, even on your hardest days where you're not feeling it, you get shit done because you trust yourself enough to know that you're going to get when you're going. And something that really is crazy and super fascinating, and I could read about this stuff and talk about it forever, is how powerful the mind actually is. And the shit that you can literally accomplish simply by betting on you and believing in yourself and taking the actions necessary, because you can't just sit there and fucking believe in yourself and the shit's going to happen. You got to believe in yourself and follow it up with what we call violent fucking action. And if you do that for days on end, weeks on end, years on end, you're going to see some shit and you'll probably look back and be like, holy fuck. Right?
Big time. So I think everything said here was just like bang on. I don't need to get into sort of repetition with that because I think that I agree with basically all of that. To add to that, I think motivation people think is like some intrinsic thing that will either catch you or fall on you based on like the mood you're in and what your perception of happiness is. When in reality, high achieving humans should consider their emotional feelings of motivation to be 0%. Because for instance, when I wake up in the morning, it doesn't matter if I'm motivated or not. I have to do stuff because if I don't, stuff falls apart.
Yep.
And I also know that the best way to curate positive emotion for any human being is progress. That could look different for every person based on their morals, values, and overall goal sets. But if you are working very diligently at trying to create movement forward with a semi-accurate map that could adjust over time, you're going to have about as much motivation as you're going to have. After that, we rely on discipline and sort of the driving force. Now, me and Braden have had some crazy talks recently as we've grown quite close, you know, especially in the last while. I've got to spend a lot more time with him. And some of this stuff, I'll be honest, I don't struggle with personally. And I never really have, which is interesting because like, if we look at a fitness journey for myself, like I was super obese, but the day that I decided to not be obese anymore led me to here. I've never once regressed. I made a decision. I made a choice and I started to try my best to move forward. And 10 years later, Now I've built my life around it because who knew that I was going to enjoy it? But like stuff in my early 20s, when I was Anthony's age, stuff would piss me off and keep me up. Like I would look at someone who had something that I perceivably wanted. And I'm very blessed that I never, ever would think like, oh, that person has this thing. Therefore, they're taking it from me. Like they're the reason I don't have it. I would be able to analyze that and be like, that person knows something that I fucking don't. And it would keep me up all night. I still do this. If I have a massive problem, and I'm not suggesting to do this, but this is some of the insanity that goes into this. I will lock myself in my office for 8 to 10 to 12 hours with no water. And it's like, hey, you don't get just an instant look at your fucking Instagram to give you some dopamine. You don't get just to go have a meal to give you some dopamine. The dopamine is going to come from a solution that you need today. And I think people put that violent action, they press that off, waiting for their ship to come in. Like, oh, one day my ship will come in. No, you have to cut the trees down, turn the trees into some sort of form of boards, build the ship, and figure out how to sail it. It's just like massive personal responsibility. And, you know, I had a great conversation with one of my clients last night at a Christmas party who's actually a psychologist. And it was really fun to get to go back and forth with her because, you know, she's pointing out some different motivational strategies. And it was like, yeah, see, I have a lot of this like built in, whether that's from my upbringing or just the way that I view the world. And to be honest, I view most of the shit that we're doing now easy. And I don't mean easy because Brayden and I and Spada and our whole team is tracking things that are very difficult, but like just some perspective. It took 2,500 sets of grandparents to get you here today. So all I have to do is think about that. And I have instantly unlimited amounts of energy because all I have to think about is like, oh, so if I went to my last 500 and, you know, as a male who tries to live a strong male life, I would consider myself talking to the last 500 male ancestors I have and telling them like, well, I'm not really motivated to get out of my warm bed to go to the gym for an hour, have my meals prepped basically for me by my fiance in some sense, you know, have a computer where I can make money from and create resources to look after my family, you know, get to do my passionate job. If I started complaining about that, they'd just execute me. It's like, you know, what are you talking about? You have the most resources available to get shit done. And we're telling people that they don't. And that's the sad part. So I think that just a perspective shift even, and like get a little bit, you know, like we always talk about gratitude journaling. I'll end it with this. I've been having people write down what pisses them off. You want to see how a journal can actually help you? Because once you write something down, writing is a form of thinking. So just like if you're grateful for something, you write it down, it kind of becomes a little bit more present in the front of your mind. Yeah, well, if you write down like, I don't have this thing and it pisses me off, your brain automatically will start to problem solve. We're problem solving creatures. And if you can let that sort of flow off the paper, you'll find out that there's three or four things that you're probably being a little resentful towards yourself or someone else for not having or not doing. And you could start to make an accurate map to solve those problems and you will feel better. Lastly, people mostly don't have motivation and I'm very harsh on my clients. I tell them like, okay, you're not motivated. If someone's struggling with motivation, I have them lay out their goals for me and then I have them lay out their days for me. And I'm like, oh no, you're not depressed. There's nothing wrong with you. Your life is fucking disordered. You nothing is organized in a manner to get you to that goal. You feel exactly how you should feel. You don't need a pill. You don't need any of that. This is a system that has evolved with us over time to make you feel like shit so that you act and make change, not so that you sit in that feeling and just complain, you know? So like, if I'm not having an outcome that I want, use some of that driving force to drive you forward, come up with a plan, and you will start to feel better. And that's how you build discipline over time.
And you know what most people, you know why? You know, it's something that I actually talked about this last week. So if you didn't go listen to it, I talked about what are my addictions. And I talked about this with Dill. I actually messaged Dill when I was reading the book I was reading. It's called Turning Pro by Stephen Pressfield. And it mentions your addictions, right? And what's actually holding you back. And I talked about mine being Well, I don't think that's not actually holding you back, but I talked about YouTube and like Instagram really being mine, right? And so many and I was actually figuring it out why, and it's because I get so much dopamine from like the relationship building that I get from like Instagram, and that's why I was using it as the excuse of, right? Was I was using the excuse of, oh, I'm relationship building to kind of spend a lot of my time on Instagram, rather than, oh, I could be re-looking over this course, or, oh, I could be diving into this book. I could be doing this. Like the prioritization of the goal, of my goal, was not there. Like, to truly be honest. And it's hard to admit because these are two guys that I look up to, and I work for Braden. And so,
hey man,
but it's
personal growth, dude.
But it's a thing of, I was looking at this and I was getting so much dopamine from this, where most people don't have something so worth working for that this is what they turn to for dopamine, rather than I bet you guys now, I sat down last night or the past two nights, I stopped working at like 11 o'clock the other night, and I stopped working at like 10:30 last night. I sat down and I was like, fuck yeah. Like I sat down and was like, felt so good and felt so accomplished based upon just sitting here and working. Like, I took a break to go somewhere because I had to go run an errand. But other than that, I sat here and I was working on making sure my timelines were set up for everyone, making sure, hey, I actually transition them over onto new documentations. Like, I make new training programs, et cetera, et cetera. Like, we get our motivation from the actual putting in the work and everything about that. Like, it's from our action, right? Dill said this plenty of times on this podcast. Motivations doesn't, like, action is the driver. Like, mm-hmm. You won't get anywhere without action. Action drives everything. Like, if you have discipline, it comes through action. It's not just waiting for these things to happen. It's going and making them happen, which is kind of the perspective shift that I've had in the last week, right? Is I would talk to you guys, right? I'll put this goal out. My goal is to become a full-time coach, right? And that's Braden's goal for myself too. We've chatted about that since I've joined the team. And it's just like, okay, was I doing everything I possibly could have to actually achieve that goal? Well, the answer was no. Like, the answer was clearly no. And I had to come up with that myself, because I wasn't putting all the actions I possibly could. So now I'm reworking my whole routine and my whole time management to actually trail towards what I want to get to. Yeah, more so.
Something too that I wanted to add to what Dylan said, because like he said, he took it a little bit of a different approach. Instead of writing gratitude and journaling gratitude down, he has people write down what's pissed off. And I've done something similar, a little bit different, but we always tend to go back to tell people to let's reassess our goals. Let's look at our goals. And I've done this countless times, what I'm about to say, and I think it can be more effective. Because again, maybe this is something, and it might not work for some, but it really works for me because of who I am. I'm a guy who, again, when I want something, I make sure I get that thing, and I do those things necessary to get that thing. So when I look at my goals, if I need any sort of motivation, the only thing that I have to do is paint a picture of myself not achieving any one of those goals, and where I'm going to be when that happens. And I, like I said, I've done this with many athletes, because they tell me they want this, they want that, they want this, they want that. I'm like, okay, let's fast forward 5 years. And let's say that throughout this entire time, you've shit the bed on discipline, you haven't had the motivation, and none of these things come true. Where are you? Where are you sitting right now at that period of time, 3 to 5 years from now, when not a single one of these goals that you have outlined to me that is important to you gets achieved? Well, you want to piss somebody off and get them motivated, have them think about that. And the reality is, if that isn't enough to light a little bit of a fire in you, I think there needs to be roping back and going back to the beginning of this thing and potentially reevaluating some goals, because those goals are very superficial to you then. If you have outlined a goal for yourself that there's no emotion attached to, and that you don't care about enough that if you don't achieve it, it's just like, meh, you're not achieving that goal. I'll tell you right now, you're not going to achieve that goal, right? And it kind of goes back to something we spoke about in different podcasts. There's a difference between wanting something and fucking wanting something, right? Because just wanting something is just like anybody can want something. Whereas like when you actually fucking really want something, well, you're working for that thing. And if you're working for something relentlessly day on day, day in, day out, and you get to the finish line and you don't achieve that thing and you're not pissed off, I don't know if you're human. Like there's, you know what I mean? I think that you would have to then go back to numero uno and say, was this actually a goal that I should have had as a goal?
Makes you question a lot. Makes you question actually how much work you actually put into that goal. I think a lot of people need to look at that too. And they're like, okay, if I didn't put the right amount of effort into it, why do I deserve to accomplish it? Right.
And I think it also goes back to another piece where you can take the flip on end approach of that and use it for like a little bit of stress management. And you have these long-term goals, and today you've been faced with a situation, and this situation is frustrating and pissing you off or whatever. You can ask yourself, is this exact thing going to matter in 5 years and going to have that big of an impact on where I want to go? And if that answer is no, well, quite frankly, fuck that thing. That thing shouldn't be in your mind or bother you anymore, because it literally has no correlation with the path that you want to be on. So in this moment, it might be something that's bothering you, but if it doesn't tie into actually the path that you're trying to pave, who cares? Forget about it.
I also think that there's for most people, I want to tie one more thing into this, mm-hmm. that's on kind of the back end, which is the self-sabotage end.
Yep.
So a lot of times people actually are motivated and they maybe have set their goals pretty straight, but because we're creatures that are flawed, maybe you've fucked up a lot of your endeavors in the past and haven't done the right things or been strayed wrongly, or just the map wasn't quite accurate. So things didn't work out in previous endeavors. That creates a fear response in us. And we like patterns and controlled outcomes. Our brain is always scanning to figure out what's the simplest way and the safest way to get to a certain place. So what ends up happening is self-sabotage can look like the illusion of control, right? So a lot of people will self-sabotage because if they have self-doubt, then when they get to the end of the thing, and like Brayden said, it didn't quite work out, then that's the reason why it didn't work out.
There's an excuse.
There was these pieces that were holding them back, but those are constructs of your mind. Now, lastly, action is set in belief, right? So what someone says to me is completely irrelevant, right? So when Brayden changed my nutrition a few weeks ago to start our cut, I believe, and that's what I want. I've wanted that for a while, and he had to hold me back. So like, I want that. And when I look at the new nutrition, I believe that that nutrition setup is going to drive me the thing that I want, that we want. Well, so my actions are following that nutrition because I believe that it's going to get me there. When people start saying stuff and they're not acting in a manner that shows the belief in something, I can always call them out and tell. It's like, why do you drop your kids off at school for higher education? Well, because deep down you believe that that's beneficial, or you wouldn't do it. Right. So it's the same idea. You have to be able to think about these things clearly, watch your own patterns. And I think, like Brayden said, like Anthony talked about it, self-growth. It's okay to let the dead wood burn off. Like, yeah, you fucked up in the past. Maybe you didn't have great habits. Literally today, Marcus Aurelius has a great quote. You know, you could be as good and great as you could be today, but instead you wait. And it's like, no, don't wait. Today is the day. Why not today? Why not in 5 minutes you can change? So
because so many people don't know where to start, and they're like, oh,
start.
It's just start. It's just start. It's just figure it out. Like I said, like with my thing, like here's the thing. Like I had that realization. Yeah, that's fine. We'll catch you later, Dill. Just want to talk about this B and finish it up. But I was talking about I talked about it on the podcast. Like I had that realization, and I was like, oh shit, I need to change. Well, then I made a plan. I was like, okay, from this time to this time, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to do this, and this is what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to do this, and I got to work my full-time job from this to this. Okay, I train from this time to this time, and then from this time to this time, I'm doing something else that will aid me towards my goal. Right. Yeah. And now obviously there's going to be those times where, hey, you have to fight those so-called addictions, because they're going to be that comfort. They're going to be that go back and everything like that. But it's rewiring everything that you have done, which is why you get so much self-growth out of discipline, yeah, and stuff, is the rewiring of how you actually go about achieving things. It's not just, hey, we want to do it. Like, there are days, like the past few weeks after I started doing this thing, there have been times where I've caught myself doing this and been like, oh shit, need to go and put this down and get back to work. And it's catching yourself too in those moments of self-sabotage and continuing to move forward somehow, because there's going to be those times, no matter what. Like, we could say we've probably spent way too much time doing something, right? That for sure probably shouldn't have been, or we spend way too much time kind of trailing, kind of looking at Facebook messages, or someone sends you a message. Like, if someone sends me a message and it's negative now, I'm just like, why the fuck are you sending me? Like, that's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. So it's just like, it's no one. One of the big things that I've realized too in the past few weeks is no one's coming to save you, no, right? It's just you. It's just you and your goal and how much effort you want to put into that. That's what, now the amount of time that it will take to achieve that, who knows, right? Right. We've talked about it. It could take someone to go from an online coach working for like a year. It could take them the like year, like 7 to really kind of make it big. Right. Because they finally get like that athlete, right? Or the one moment, right, that really kind of sparks everything or something. And but the effort took 7 years of work.
Yeah.
Like, so it will come. It's just, that's the discipline aspect, is the 7 years of consistent effort and showing up, knowing that you're going to get to that end goal. You may have put that goal at like 2 years. It may have taken you 5 years longer, but you know what? You're going to look back and be like, fuck, I've learned so much during that 7 years that I now can be the best at what I do.
And I think this ties into being just like a realist, right? In many situations, and being open to criticism. So something that, and I've heard this many times with my own coaching style and a lot of the athletes I work with, will say this, but I think I've been able to get my roster to a place where the realization is this, and they know that it comes from a place of care, right? I have no problem laying into one of my athletes when they need to be better, and I'll bring the realization back to them that their discipline has been dog shit, and I'll remind them that this is your goal, and with the current actions you're taking, you are very fucking far from where you need to be in terms of the level of discipline you need to require to get there. And again, like, I don't really work well with people who can't take criticisms like that, because I promise you, I'll never be the guy that pats you on the back when you get fucked up for an entire weekend and you're telling me you want to win an overall in bodybuilding. At the end of the day, the actions and the goals don't align whatsoever, right? And I have an athlete who I'm really good friends with that I coach. And I don't mind sharing this. Just last week we had a conversation, and his check-in came through, and he had told me in his check-in that he had some drinks and went out and had a good night one night. And then he kind of continued this long explanation of why he did it. And the roundabout way was, it was a friend's birthday, right? So I basically sent him a message, and again, I'm not an asshole. It's because I care. And I said, listen, if you wrote in this check-in that you went and had 2-3 drinks on Friday night and you're back to plan and all is good, I literally probably wouldn't have said a single thing about it. You're in the middle of your off season. It's not something that happens frequently. It is what it is. But the fact that you decided to write me a full paragraph trying to convince me that the excuse of why you drank and trying to convince yourself that it was a good decision, that's what I don't want to see. That's fucking horseshit. You're making an excuse to yourself. And if your excuse is that it was a friend's birthday, well, guess what? I know damn well you have a lot of friends, and I know you have a lot of family members. And over the next year, you're going to be having drinks almost every third day. So Do you fucking care about the goal you've outlined to me? Do you want to be a top five national competitor and compete for a pro card in the next couple of years? Or do you want to enjoy birthday after birthday and have drinks every single birthday? Because, well, it's somebody's birthday. That's a legitimate excuse to have drinks. Sorry, it's not. Right. And I laid into him a bit, and like we had a mature conversation afterwards, and he was like, thank you, man. Like, I needed to hear that. And it's not a tough thing to do. And I think that's one of the value that we can bring as coaches is we'll be the ones to steer you back. But you also got to be real enough with yourself to realize that, hey, we're not shitting on you. We're literally wanting to see you get to where you're going, because at least on this team, we care about this shit as much as you do. If you tell me your goal is to be a pro bodybuilder, I wear that shit on my sleeve. And if I don't turn you into a pro bodybuilder, I've failed. I've failed you. Now, you need to also not fail yourself. I'll never say you don't need to fail me, because by you doing what needs to be done, you're not failing you. And I need to not fail you by putting the plan in place and holding you accountable to that plan. Because if I don't do that, now I'm failing you. Yes. So I think that's where the team comes into play. And people say this is an individual sport. Sure, I agree that it is, but it also takes a village. And not everyone can be the killer every single day when they get out of bed. But if you have people around you that are turning you into a killer and forcing you to be a killer when you're just not feeling it, that shit helps. And that shit helps big time. And that's one of the things that I'm really proud of that we have here with this team, and the culture we're building is like, we have a lot of killers. Anyone can lean on any killer at any point in time and be pointed back in the right direction.
That's kind of how I think about things now. I kind of look at who's on our coaching team for things. And I'm like, okay, how do I feel today? Okay, I feel a little run down. Okay. Could come up with the excuse to just chill out this morning and not do work that needs to get done. Or I could be like, okay, what's the person next to me willing to do? So if I'm so like even taking, you know, for the flight, for example, like I'm already planning out what I'm going to be doing on the flight, like to Vegas, right? Like I got 6 hours. Most people probably spend 6 hours like listening to music or watching a movie, right? No, I can use 6 hours to get ahead
and work.
Yeah. And I can read like books. Like I've wanted to get to, like, I have Become Your Own Bodybuilder here, or The Own Bodybuilding Coach.
Bodybuilding Coach by Scott Stevens.
Yeah. And like, I've gotten through some of it, but like, I want to get through more of it so I can use my time to answer my check-ins. And then if I have some extra time, read more of that book. Right. And there's always something. And there always will be something. And sometimes maybe that something is to relax after a bit, you know, but get to that stage where you feel a little bit burned out and continue to drive just a little bit harder for like another week or two, and then pull back. You'll be able to look back, reflect, and be like, okay, I got a shit ton done. And look at where you are in achieving your goal. Cause I bet you're a lot closer. So yeah, that was a good episode. Fuck it. Bang.
100%. Awesome. Yeah. I think it's honestly something like everybody deals with, right? The whole motivation, discipline thing. It's like, fuck your motivation. Just do the shit you got to do to get where you're going.
Like, no one cares. Like I said, no one cares. The next person, the person next to you doesn't care. Like, they really don't. It's up to you. Like, no one's coming to save you. It's up to you and your actions that dictate where you're going to get to in this life. Like, 100%. It's just how it is now.
And you can leave 5-6 reps in reserve on every set you do. But when you don't win that pro card, you should be pissed off at nobody but yourself.
Yep, exactly. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, go share it on Instagram. Go tag us. We appreciate anybody who's listened to us for the year. So if it's been a long time, we've been doing this. I think we've almost been doing this for a year now. I think February will be a year that we've been recording together, which is, time flies, man. Time flies a long time. I have spots open on my roster. I'm trying to grow my roster to like 50 athletes by like May. So if you want to join this roster, let's fucking get there. I'm willing to do what it takes. I got a few athletes competing. I got a few people doing the do. A lot of good transformations in the bag now, and going in the way I want to go. So I have roster spots open. B's a bit more selective, but he has roster spots open. Dill also has roster spots open. So if you guys are interested, let's get on board. Stop waiting until, like we said, you can wait until the holidays are over and we have to fix you even more. or we can give you the strategies now to actually help you progress forward for the holidays. So now is the perfect time to join. So if you guys are interested, go ahead to the Miller Elite website, and go apply for our coaching. If you guys did enjoy this episode, like I said, share on Instagram, tag us, go subscribe to the podcast, go share with a friend if they need to hear this one, because someone probably does. Go follow us on Instagram. All three of our Instagrams are in the show notes. You can use code SPADA at Morphogen Nutrition to save yourself some dollar bills. Other than that, I will catch you guys this week. I'm going to bring back solo episodes and do a bit more of those, and really kind of take this off again, because I really found out that I really like to record as more so a journal and kind of a way of expressing myself too, and what I want to hold back and not hold back. So you'll be getting some more episodes for myself too as well. So other than that, we'll catch you guys on the next episode of the Spada Podcast.
Thanks, guys.